changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or the King James says hell, where is that your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm sorry I read on to the end of the chapter, but pray with me, please. Holy Father, grant us understanding, comfort, and courage as your people, as we hear from your word in these corrupt and evil days in our country. Lord, we want to be the light to the world, as the song just now mentioned. Help us, therefore, to be strong in our faith, not frightened by any such things, for it's in the name of Christ that we pray it. Amen. I intentionally printed in your bulletin insert a kind of a summary of the history of Halloween. I did so because I wanted to use portions of that as an introduction to the message today. So we talked about it some on Wednesday night in our prayer Bible study. I titled the message, No Fear of Ghosts and Goblins. Have you noticed as you look around that Halloween must be in the minds of most people a celebration of death and dying? Right out at the end where you turn and come back into where the church is out here on the main drag coming into town is a series of tombstones in the yard. And I've seen them all over the country. People who are doing something in costume and or decoration to emphasize death and dying. And a part of the history of Halloween is the very fact that it grew out of an ancient ritual, and in the area of England and Ireland and northern France, some of that area used to be called Celtic countries, okay? It was a belief from their religions, and there were many in that time, but a belief that on the 31st of October, that there was somehow a breaking up of the barrier between the living and the dead so that the dead were able to come back to the light, at least for the day. And, of course, there were several different historical references that there was mischief of all kinds on both sides of the living and the dead. That is, those who returned from the grave to the earth for a little short while. And they would do mischief things. They would bring hurt to people and scare people. And we come up with the idea, or they came up with the idea, not me. They come up with the idea that if we wear costumes and masks, then these people who've come back from the dead will not recognize us. But rather, the costumes and masks will make them think we're one of them, so they wouldn't do us any harm. It's going to be partly from that point of view that I'm going to be sharing the message today. We're going to be looking at several different passages of Scripture, but three other than the text. But I want you to look, first of all, I don't really care what costume you wear, or what false face you use, the devil already knows who you are. I mean, the costume's not going to trouble anybody. And one of the reasons I'm saying it that way is we don't have to be afraid of goblins and ghosts and such things as that. For that matter, to be honest with you, there are no such things. We do need to be concerned about Satan and his angels. And he takes every opportunity, especially times when we might already be afraid, takes those kinds of things to cause people to believe in falsehood or to raise questions about God, even in his ability to protect us and deliver us. And I want us to understand that the real enemy is not ghosts and goblins. It's not somebody that come back from the dead. For that matter, if you remember in the teachings of the Lord Jesus concerning the rich man and Lazarus, he says there's a great gulf fixed between here and where they are, and that they can't come to earth, we can't go to them. You follow me? Jesus made that teaching very clear. So there's not going to be ghosts and goblins. There are not going to be people raising up from the dead to bring any threat or hurt upon anyone here on the earth. That's just Satan's lie. All right? One of many. But I do want you to stop and think about what the Bible says about some of these issues. And so, first of all, I want you to recognize in the passage we've just looked at, in verse 57, he says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So I don't care what your issues are. I don't care what Satan may be trying to use to scare you. I don't care whether or not the world's picture of reality, and it's not reality, it's a fabricated idea, but I don't care what has frightened you in the past. I want you to know in every circumstance, our relationship with Jesus is our defense, our strength, our protection. You follow me? I want you to understand that there's nothing Satan can do that can take us out of the protection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that matter, I want you to understand, even when you are dealing with some kind of difficulty, even when you get down in depression, and even when circumstances cause you to question God or to be afraid of what tomorrow's going to hold, I want you to understand God loves you anyhow. I understand. Sometimes the person that scares me the most is the one I look at in the mirror. And sometimes depression can take over a pastor's heart too. But I want you to know, in every circumstance, when I begin to take inventory of my relationship with Christ and what he has promised me, my spirits are lifted again. Because it is in Christ that we have victory and answer during our lifetime. Until that day when we shall be joined with him forever in heaven, when we'll be able to understand all of the things that he has planned for us, and he says we can't even imagine it. It's never entered the heart of man, the things he's prepared for those that love him, the Bible says. So I want you to understand that when we get even to heaven, we're going to understand more completely than we do now. And now, because of our faith in Lord Jesus Christ, even when we don't understand it, we can trust him and be encouraged and protected through all the circumstances. So what I want you to look at, first of all, is a scripture passage in the book of Hebrews. And on chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, he says this, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." I want you to understand, according to the scripture, we have no reason to be afraid. Not even as the verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. We don't need to be afraid even when we're threatened by men. And I really believe we're going to be able to see in our lifetime more reality in threatened from men than ever in our history. Especially those who are committed to the homosexual agenda, the transsexual issues that's going on now. I mean, more and more believers are being silenced by law in America. I shared with you last week, you remember, that now in the United Kingdom, in Great Britain and that area, they have already passed laws and they're instructing seminaries and Sunday schools to teach the homosexual agenda as truth. It's being required by law now. And it'll soon be that way here if things continue as they are now. I mean, they're threatening us by law that we need to change Scripture. Well, I'm sorry. I'm trusting Jesus. And there's not going to be any compromise of the Word of God. I mean, I'm believing God's Word, and I'm believing Him to be our protector as we take our stand for Jesus, no matter what the circumstances around us. We don't have reason, because we're children of God, because we're believers in Christ, we don't have reason to be afraid of man. We simply trust Christ. I've heard someone say, the fact is it's alluded to in the Scripture as well, what if I'm dragged into court? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? How am I going to answer the questions in a way that don't compromise the Scripture? I know what that trouble is. I've been there already. Okay? The Scripture promises us not to worry about that. But in the very day and hour that we have to, just depend on Him, and God will give us the words. So we don't have to worry. I don't know how to answer. You know, going to court scares you to death anyway, all right? I mean, I can remember as a young father going to court with my son. I was as nervous as he was. I didn't have to say anything. He was the one who was going to have to answer the questions. He was going to have to stand up there by the judge. But I sat there as a father, nonetheless concerned, not only for him, but for the whole atmosphere. I was out of place. I felt like I was in the wrong place. And yet I loved my son. I wanted to be there in his corner, as it were, to be an encouragement and strength for him. And I praise God, the judge was merciful, okay? But what I'm saying to you is, Jesus has promised us in some of those circumstances that He'll supply the words for us and that we don't have to be concerned. So as a believer, we don't have to be afraid of what men can do. I mean, even men in costume. I'm even including policemen, not just Halloweeners. Anyone who comes to be our enemy for whatever reason, we need to trust Christ because as believers, He is our strength. And we don't need to be afraid of what men can do to us. But turn with me, if you will, in the book of Psalms and chapter 23. Many of you have memorized this passage, but turn to verse 4 in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Someone was asking me why we do the Hallow Hymn thing that we've done, because Halloween is a celebration that Satan uses. It's a time when they're celebrating death and evil, and my word, where they come up with all of these goblins, since there are none, they've never seen a picture. Where do they come up with these weird things that are used as decorations and designs for costumes? I don't know. It seems to be more gross each year, some of the costuming and some of the decorations for the time. They want to know why we're involved. When everybody's focused on death, they need to see the witness of life. When everybody's focused on death and dying, we need to show them God's love and that God loves them. And in the midst of their fears, we need to show them the strength that God provides and the love that bespeaks Him. And so using the holiday as an opportunity, gathering people who come to have a hot dog or a sack of popcorn, hot chocolate. This year, for some reason, we gave more hot chocolate away than several years ago. There was over 200 hot dogs we passed out the other night, and many of the kids and parents didn't take hot dogs this year. They preferred hot chocolate. Hey, that's all right. I mean, praise God, we gave away 200 hot dogs already. But then some began to feel uncomfortable and wanted to pay. We said, no, it's all free. We want you to know God loves you. I mean, in the midst of what Satan's trying to do and coloring the holiday in his behalf, we need to be a presence of Christ and showing the love of Christ in spite of it all. I wore my Jesus cap. Some of you remember Sam Kinstall gave me a cap one Sunday morning. Bright red cap. It's got in bold white letters across the front, Jesus. Then in black letters underneath, He's my boss. But I did on purpose because I want people to raise questions about my cap. I get some good conversation starters from wearing that. But what I'm trying to say, in the midst of what Satan's trying to do, I bring the presence of Jesus. So we don't have to be afraid of goblins and that kind of thing. For that matter, we don't need to be afraid of the evil that Satan is attempting to bring upon us. Because of that verse, if you remember again in verse 4 of the 23rd Psalm, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Many of you remember that phrase. But do you know what that means? For a shepherd, I was a shepherd for a short time in my youth and had responsibility for raising 200 head of sheep and one angry ram. I don't know. I've heard dogs do that, but I want you to know rams do too. They know who to challenge and who can be threatened and who can't. I was never afraid of him. I knew his secret. Every time he bows his head to come charging at you, he can't see anymore. His legs are covering his eyes, so when he'd duck his head, I'd step out of the way and he'd miss every time. And then he'd put on the brakes and stop and turn around and see where I was, you know. But my brother, my middle brother, never did figure out, even after I kept telling him, when that ram started our direction, it scared him to death. I remember I was working on fence once, had a hammer in my hand where I was putting staples on the fence to the fence posts, and I turned around and saw him running a shirt of iron, and I threw that hammer and hit him right in the head. I mean, crack! He shook his head, and here he come again. I mean, it didn't bother him in the least. And so when he ducked his head, I run over shirt of iron, pushed him out of the way, and he missed again. You know what I'm saying. I want you to know the comfort that sheep have with the shepherd in that day is those two instruments, his rod and his staff. The rod was a club, usually out of hardwood, And it was a little bit slender on one end. It was massive on the other end, kind of like a ball bat is shaped, you know. Oh, it wasn't like in today finished wood. No, no, no. But it was intentional that way because he used it one way, as a club for lions and wolves and bears and things like that, enemies that he had to fight and drive away. He used it the other way, the light end sticking out in his counting. As the sheep came in, he would tap them on the head or the back. You follow me? Both ends was an effective tool for him in his relationship with the sheep. But that staff was a large, usually about his height or a little older, taller, and had a hook on the end. And if a sheep got caught in the briars, he could reach in and drag him out without having to get briars all over him. You understand the situation? Or if a lamb or a sheep gets down over the edge of the bank and can't get out of the depression or the hole, he could reach down and hook it behind the leg and help it climb the bank to get out. Both were instruments of safety, expressions of the love and fearlessness of the shepherd. You follow me? So when the psalmist talks about God and his relationship to us in the midst of evil, he was able to say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen? We're believers. We don't have to be afraid of evil. But then I want you to look at one more, will you? I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy. We're going to be looking this time at verse 10 in chapter 1. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior and Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I could preach on this text, but today I'm looking at it from a different point of view, okay? I want you to recognize the Bible simply says that because of the revelation of Jesus Christ, one, we know that death has been abolished, and in its place, he has brought to light life and immortality through the gospel. So think with me. According to the scripture, we don't have to be afraid of death. I love preaching the funerals of believers. I love to tell their story of faith. And if I know, I love to tell some of their journey of faith because I want to celebrate what God's been doing in somebody's life. Follow me? I don't like preaching funerals of unsaved people. That's horrible for me. Realizing that they left this life without Christ, that they are indeed in hell. So people ask us, my wife and I, our children, a couple of them raised that question when she was in the hospital the last time. And two of our daughters realized for the first time that we don't want to be resuscitated if God says it's time. For me, it's time. I'm not wanting to be relieved and kept another day or two, you know, postponing going home. I want to go home. When God says it's time to go home, I want to go home, okay? But they've asked me about it, these two daughters, and others, when we're discussing a thing. I was at the hospital this week and ministering to a couple, and they were discussing that very same thing. And I told them my opinion. If a person's unsaved, if they've not trusted Jesus, I want to keep him alive as long as possible. Because I want another chance to tell them about Christ before it's too late for them. You follow me? But if you're a child of God, I get excited about your going home too. Because I know where you are. When you leave this world, death is no longer death for us as a child of God. It's a doorway into eternity. You hear what I'm saying? It's just going to sleep here and waking up in the arms of Jesus, as one has said. I mean, we are believers. We don't have to be afraid of death because we believe in the immortality that He has promised us in the Scripture. We believe in the life, that is, the understanding of what God has done for us. And as I've already alluded to it, He says, it's never entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Now, I want you to imagine heaven as beautiful as you can possibly imagine it. And on the authority of Scripture, I can say to you, it's better than that. It's better than that. Because He says, we can't imagine. It's never entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. So we don't need to be, as believers, we don't need to be afraid of death. For it's that beautiful opening from the presence of family into the presence of Holy God, where we will be without pain, without suffering. We'll be crying initially, apparently. I've tried to figure out why. I don't really know. There's a lot of things I can imagine, but the wonderful thing is the Bible said He's going to wipe the tears away. There's not even going to be any reason for crying anymore. So we don't need to be afraid of death. I am afraid of death for those who do not know Christ. I am afraid of death for those who have refused to believe in Christ. I am afraid of death for those who've just dismissed the opportunity and haven't really taken seriously what they've heard about salvation and about God's forgiveness and love. I am afraid for them to die. Because the Bible says after death for them it's hell. Forever and ever and ever. One man rebuked me once when I said that, and he said, "Oh, preacher, when you die, you just burned up and that's the end of it." No. The Bible says you'll be in that pain, that agony, and that fire forever and forever and forever. Three different times He uses the phrase in the New Testament, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I want you to know, choosing hell is a horrible choice. I worked for an electrician in my apprentice days. I tried to win Jimmy to Christ. He was a brilliant electrician. He was a good friend. But I tried to lead him to Christ again and again. His mother was a precious Christian. I loved her as a child of God. And I loved Jimmy. He was a good worker and a skilled instructor. I enjoyed being an electrician under his leadership. But I feared him. I mean, he was an alcoholic, and one of those like I have rarely seen. He didn't drink at all until he finally got paid for a job. And then he wouldn't sober up until all the money was gone. All the tools were hocked. Even his vehicles be borrowed against. One of those title loan kind of things, you know what I'm saying? I'd have to go and get his stuff out when we finally gathered enough money to pay off all of those till he finally got to the place he wouldn't go and collect. He would send me to collect, and then I'd pay all of the bills of the equipment and so forth we had gotten and everything that we had used, pay off all of that so there wasn't any debts against us, and then give him the rest, and he would still get drunk until the money ran out. And then he could get a job overnight. I mean, he was a brilliant electrician. I tried my best to tell him about Jesus. One day he says to me, "Oh, Garland, don't worry about it. If I go to hell, I'm going to have lots of company." But, Jimmy, that's not true. There's going to be a lot of people in hell, but none of them are going to be company. They're not even going to know you're there. They're going to be so caught up in their own pain and suffering, they won't even realize anyone else is there. None of them's going to have sympathy for you. None of them's going to try to calm you down or comfort your heart in the midst of your suffering. There's not going to be any company there. You're going to be carrying that burden by yourself for the rest of eternity. And some people say, "Well, that's horrible, preacher. Why would you say that?" Well, first of all, the Bible says it. I'm just quoting him. But secondly, the Bible says he created hell for the devil and his angels. And the reason you go to hell is because you've chosen to take Satan's side and follow him. Subsequently, you're going to suffer the punishment God designed for Satan and his angels. It's your choice. And if you don't choose Jesus, the only option left is hell. But because we're believers, we don't need to be afraid of death. We don't need to fear somebody even threatened to kill us. We don't need to be afraid of death. I want you to know, because of Jesus, our eternity is already settled. Our place in heaven is being prepared. And the love of Jesus walks with us daily until that time we get to see him face to face. Am I making sense to you? The Halloween theme is about death and dying. It's about fear of those that might come back to life and cause us harm or threaten and thrill and hurt us. But I want you to know Jesus Christ is the answer. And we don't need to be afraid of what men can do to us. We don't need to be afraid of evil. We don't need to be afraid of death and dying. Amen. Lead us in hymn of an invitation. What number are we singing? This is your opportunity.